Well, let's go right ahead to our passage this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 16 and 17. This is Paul writing, and Paul's writing to Timothy, pastor of a church, and in verse 16 he says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." And we're in a series right now called We Are Bridgeway, and we're talking about what we believe, who we are, why we're here in Sarasota, and our mission. As we talked about a few weeks ago, our mission is to make disciples. Our mission is to see the restoring power of Jesus Christ multiplied in the hearts of the people of Sarasota and the surrounding cities. And our vision, which is kind of how we're going to accomplish our mission, our vision is to be a church centered on Jesus that declares and demonstrates the gospel of grace for the good of our city and for the glory of God. And we've talked about the key elements that kind of uphold that vision, that make up that vision, and they are gospel, this message of good news that Jesus died on the cross for sinners so that they could be reconciled to God, community, that when we believe in Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, we are brought into the family of God, we're made righteous in His sight, and as such, we're reconciled with God and reconciled with each other to live in community together. And then mission, as a community, we're sent out on mission together to continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's our mission and our vision and our values, but where did all that come from? How did we come up with that? We planted a church, we wrote some documents, we made a website, we put it all on there. Where did it come from? Did it come from a dream? It's like there's this church planting manual where it tells you, oh, this is what this needs to be, this is what that needs to be. Is it just a result of life experiences, education, philosophy, common sense, marketing? Here's how you build a church. Is our mission and our vision and our values just one way, just one opinion, just one way in how to build a church and how to get to God? See, really all these questions about our vision and our values, because we're talking about how do you know God? What should the church be? How should we relate together? These are core fundamental questions. Really what we're talking about is truth. And so the question is there truth? Is there absolute truth? Or is truth just whatever we want it to be? And if it is, who decides what's right and wrong? Where are the boundaries? How much of a leeway do we have in deciding our own truth before we step over the line into what's wrong and not true? Or is everything true, depending on what we want and how we think? Well, at Bridgeway, we believe that there is objective truth. We believe that there is right and wrong, that there is a standard, that there is a way to live, that there is one way to get to God. And we don't decide what that is. We're not the ones who come up with this truth. We believe that truth comes from God, and that apart from His truth, it's impossible to know and please God. We believe that God gave this truth to us as a gift in this book. It's called the Bible. It's His Word. And so at Bridgeway, we are committed to Scripture. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to start by just looking at what Scripture is and why it's so important, and then we're going to talk about what the Bible really is all about. Put a little context to it. Now, in the passage that we read, Paul says that all of Scripture, all of Scripture is breathed out by God. That literally means, that Greek word literally means God breathed. And Paul says all of Scripture is like that. It's God breathed. It's inspired by Him. Scripture is not just the transference of information. It's God Himself speaking to us because this is directly from Him. It's directly from God. So another way to think about this is that all of Scripture is inspired by God. So God used men, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to record His words so that we could have it. To record His words as revelation to us, revelation for us. That's what makes the Bible different than every other book. The writer of Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is living and active. It's living and active because it's not just pages and ink. It's infused with power by the Holy Spirit. And so when we read it, we're going to talk more about this in a couple weeks, but when we read it with a heart that desires to know God, with a humble heart, the Spirit of God makes it alive. The Spirit of God is active through it to work in our lives through the Word of God, through the revelation of God. And so that's what Scripture is. It's revelation from God. It's revelation from God about Himself. So let me give you a definition of revelation. Revelation is a disclosure from God to humanity of God's person, purpose, words, and works. Okay, this is God revealing to us who He is. And this is so important for us because apart from us accurately and truly knowing who God is, we will never know who we are. Because God is the center of all things. God is the creator of all things. All things are oriented to God. But when we don't know who God is, we're lost in oblivion somewhere and we start putting other things at the center. It's usually us, which is way off. So that's revelation. Now the opposite of revelation is speculation. And that's what we do apart from God's word. When we don't really know who He is, we really don't know truth, we start speculating. We take our experiences, we take our feelings, we take the relationships we know and other people's experiences, philosophies, our intuitions, our preferences, and then we go outside at night, we look at all the stars, and we say, oh, this must be what God's like. And we create a God in our own image, of our own liking, that helps gird up our lifestyle and our preferences. But in the Bible, God reveals Himself to us. He reveals His character to us. He reveals to us who He is, what He's really like, that He's holy and just, and He's also loving and merciful. He reveals to us His will, which is what He wants, what God expects. And then He reveals His ways. He reveals how He works. So He tells us what He expects of His creation, and then He tells us how He interacts with His creation. Revelation is God looking down to a lost and confused humanity and disclosing truth about who He is, and by implication we learn who we are. This is an act of mercy. This is an act of love. God showing us who He is, because in the fall, because of sin, we've lost the picture of who God is. We've been deceived. We're blind. We're spiritually dead. And so we need revelation apart from us in order to know truth, in order to know what's really going on. What's my life really all about? And so revelation is necessary because if He doesn't show us, we're not going to know it. Ever. We can't come up with it on our own. One of the important things to realize about Scripture, even in talking about this being God's revelation of Himself and Scripture being absolute truth, is we have to realize that there's faith involved in this. Our authority is this book. And when we get what we know about this book from this book, And so someone who doesn't have faith, who doesn't believe, is not going to be able to be convinced that this is absolute truth. God does that. God can do that in someone's heart. But see, we can see this and understand that it's God's word in a manner of speaking. But if we don't truly believe that these are the words of God, that this is His revelation, His word to us, and that it's foundational to who we are as humans, as Christians, and as the church, we can hear this stuff, not believe it, and end up rejecting it or ignoring it as being just more information. So it's important that we believe that this is God's word and not just see it as another book, because that's what our culture does, right? It's not bad in most situations. People aren't going to persecute you in our culture for walking around with a Bible. You go to Starbucks and sit down and open the Bible. Nobody's going to come up and throw it on the ground and you know, punch you in the face or tear it up or anything like that. You're not going to probably be persecuted for that. Because what our culture sees the Bible as is just another book. They see it as a life manual for you. You know, it's a compilation of ancient wisdom writings, right? So if you can get some good out of it, that's great. Just, you know, read it. Take what you want. You know, what are the needs in your life? Go to Jesus. He's a wise man. And learn from it. But that's when we start going astray. When we see God's word like that, we start making gods in our own image instead of knowing and realizing and living as if He has made us in His image. With a purpose, we start worshiping other things, namely ourselves, instead of worshiping the one true God. We don't understand sin and holiness. If this book is just another book, it's all relative. Holiness, godliness, sin, it's what we begin to make it. And so we can lower the standard of God. Essentially, without this revelation, we're blind and we're lost and we're on a path for destruction. Now, this kind of talk is offensive today. Because like I said, the Bible's fine if you think of the Bible as just another book. But the world doesn't like to hear you start talking about the fact that there is only one truth. It's not just any book. This is the book, right? There is one truth. There is absolute truth, and it comes from God. There is only one way to get to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. There is only one explanation for creation, sin, hell, Jesus, the cross, the resurrection. They're all real. And they're all going to matter in your life one day. You start telling people that, there's no other option. The only way for you to know God is through believing in Jesus and following Him. You're going to make some people mad. Now, our aim is not to make anyone mad. Our aim is not to offend anyone, right? And so we're not out. We don't shove this down anyone's throat. But if and when this truth does offend, our higher priority than not offending in those cases is believing God. It's believing truth. Because holding on to Scripture, loving Scripture, honoring Scripture as truth from God is holding on to God. And loving God, because it's His Word. It is who He is. And so the right view of Scripture for us is to see Scripture as above us. To see that we're beneath Scripture. That we are to be submitted to Scripture. That as absolute truth, it has all authority over our lives. And as such, we lower ourselves beneath it. We submit ourselves to be controlled in a sense, Ephesians 5:18, to be controlled by the Word of God as the Spirit of God brings it to life in our lives. Here's why this is so important. Psalm 19:105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now in the Bible, feet, the path, walking, these are illustrations. These words and phrases were used to describe life, right? Life is a journey. And so we walk through life. The path is the path of life that I'm on. And so what the psalmist is saying here is that the Word of God, your Word, O God, gives light to my life. I can see where I'm going because of your Word. Because of the truth of your Word, I see clearly. I'm on the right path. I'm directed by you. See, because this is why this is so important. Scripture is our foundation. Scripture is our bearing. Scripture is like our starting place. It's our compass. It properly orients our lives to God, as opposed to having our lives oriented to ourselves. So let me see if I can explain this. And I apologize. Some of you guys have already heard this illustrations. You'll have to endure again. But I grew up in Daytona Beach, Florida. Growing up on the East Coast, I always knew the beach was on my east, to the east of me. And so I always knew where I was because I always knew where the beach was. And so I could find my way anywhere because of that. But when we moved to Sarasota, big problems. I couldn't give people direction without stopping for 3 minutes just to think, where am I? And then I've got to make sure, okay, whatever I think, I'm going to tell them to make a right or a left. I've got to make it the opposite, right? Because now if I'm heading toward the beach, I'm heading west, not east. Everything was opposite. Everything was off. And so I took many wrong turns. I drove miles in the wrong direction over the first year that we were here. And actually, we've been here a year and a half now. I'm just now getting to the point where if you ask me where to go, I can tell you and I don't have to stop and think about it. Why did that happen? Because my bearing was set and now I'm in an environment where my bearing's off. My sense of direction was off. I was lost as far as where I was and where I was going because my compass was broken. Actually, it wasn't my compass that was broken. It was the objective truth of where I was that wasn't clicking in with my brain. And so, assuming I knew what was right, I ended up doing what was wrong. And that's what we tend to do. When our point of reference isn't securely rooted in objective truth, we're in trouble. We're in trouble, and it's not just that we're going to start sinning all over the place. The trouble doesn't start with blatant outward sin. The trouble starts in our heart. It starts with a slow, steady slide into self-centeredness, self-focus, self-living. You start to see this in your relationships. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Because we do this on a regular basis as humans, right? We start to forget truth. We start believing the lie that we're what really matters. And then when what we want doesn't happen, we get angry, we get harsh, we get irritated. And then what do we need? We need that objective truth to come in and remind us who we are in Christ. Get our bearings again and repent of that. This is the case in the spiritual sense with everybody. People wander around every day, all the time, disconnected from reality. They don't know it. They're disoriented and confused about what life's all about. Why are they here? Some people think they know, and they just go full bore in the wrong direction, away from God. Other people are confused and don't know, and they just are all through life taking wrong turns, looking for the right place, but taking wrong turns because they don't have the objective truth that can ground them and lead them to know who God really is so that their life can be set surely, securely on the rock. See, Scripture anchors us in reality. That's why this is so important. Scripture anchors us in reality, and it doesn't just give us a roadmap. It doesn't just give us some platitudes and some helpful tips on how to live right. Scripture gives us a new perspective. It gives us an eternal perspective, a godly perspective. We begin to see life, our lives, our family's life, the church, society, government, everything. We begin to see everything through the eyes of God, which is the right way to see things. And if we understand that, we truly understand that, it'll drive us to God's Word. So Scripture is the inspired or the breathed revelation of God. And that revelation was authored by God. God is the author of Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit and recorded by men. Okay, and that's an important distinction to make, because these words in the Bible, we didn't receive from men. Men wrote them, but God is the author. The Holy Spirit is the one who acted on the men to write inspired Scripture. Because if this was given to us by men, it's all up for debate. Because man is changeable, right? But God is not. So we believe that the Bible is objective, unchanging truth from God. Now that sounds like, okay, well, there's a nice, succinct theological statement. Hang that on the wall somewhere. But I want you to understand, it's so important that we understand that affects everything. That affects everything. That theology of Scripture affects every other theology that we have. We no longer have the option to go outside of this book, to add to this book, to take away from this book, and what God speaks to us through His revelation to us. That informs how we approach the Word of God and how we approach God and how we approach each other. It informs how we interpret Scripture. It informs how we apply Scripture to our lives. And it, because of that, and that covers everything, that covers every aspect of our lives, doesn't it? So let me just give you five theological points, okay? I'll try not to make this boring, but I want you to understand this. I want you to understand what it means that we say that this is God's revelation to us and how it plays out in our everyday life, in all of the things that we believe. So here's a little bit of a theological side of what we believe about Scripture. We believe in the authority of Scripture because this is God's Word. We believe that all Scripture is the very Word of God, and that to disobey or disbelieve any aspect of Scripture, any word of Scripture, and I'll just caveat and make sure we understand, we're assuming this is being interpreted properly. To disobey or disbelieve any word of Scripture is to disobey or disbelieve God Himself. And so Scripture carries with it the full weight and authority of God. That's what we see in 2 Timothy 3:16, what we're looking at. It's from Him. It's breathed out by Him. We believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. The inerrancy of Scripture says that every word of Scripture is true. There's nothing in Scripture that's false or contrary to fact. Now, this causes us to exercise faith, because there's some crazy stuff in the Bible, right? You got Jonah, this guy swallowed by a big fish. He's in the belly of a fish for 3 days and then spit up on land and he's alive. You got a talking donkey, right? You got the Red Sea being just water pushed back and millions of people walking on dry land through the Red Sea. All kinds of things are portrayed and stories told in the Bible that don't seem to make sense, right? But they're true, and we believe they're true. If it's in God's Word, even if it seems impossible or illogical or too good to be true, we believe that it's true. Jesus, in His own words, says to the Father in John 17:17, "Your Word is truth." We believe in the clarity of Scripture. Clarity of Scripture. This means that Scripture is able to be understood by all who read it with a humble heart. All who approach God and God's Word with a desire to know, a softness of heart. Jesus says in Mark 4:23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So this is idea of coming. I mean, there's plenty of people who read the Bible. Honestly, we're going to talk about this in a second. It It doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you just read it cover to cover. It's like, how are you putting all this together? You know, some of the stories is kind of weird how it works. We're going to talk about how it does tie together in just a minute. But when we come with a heart disposition of wanting, desiring to understand, this is where the living and active part of Scripture comes into play. The Holy Spirit is pleased to open our eyes, to show us what's here. We believe in the necessity of Scripture. Okay, this means that Scripture is necessary for knowing God. It's necessary for knowing the path of salvation. It's necessary for sanctification, for knowing God and walking with God and being transformed by God, continuing to grow. 2 Peter 1:3 says that His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. We have everything we need from God in God's Word for life and godliness, for salvation, sanctification, ultimately glorification. So that's just a quick snippet, a theological snippet of Scripture and what we believe and how these things really, it may seem like boring information, but you'd be surprised how many times these important theological points come into play in your own life on a daily basis. So now we know a little bit more about Scripture theologically and why it's important. But it's also important when we approach Scripture and God's Word to know what Scripture is about. It's important to know the context of Scripture. It's important to know, kind of where the story's going so that we can interpret it properly, so that we can hear and receive from God what He's really saying to us. Because a lot of people, even Christians, come to the Bible, read the Bible, and they find it difficult. Find the Bible hard to understand, confusing, boring, random, disconnected, right? Now, some of it's cool. It's like TV, right? Because you've got action, drama, suspense, corruption, sex, crime, revenge. You got the oppressors, and then you got the heroes. All kinds of stuff going on. Some of those stories are fun. They'll keep your attention. But then other places, like, why is this even in here? You got pages upon pages of genealogies, you know, and this guy was this guy's father, and this guy was this guy's father. Just, wow, there's a lot of fathers in here, and, you know, what's that all there for? And then you've got all the laws. There's entire books of just law. Do this. Here's how you do this. Don't do that. Make sure you don't do that. And then there's the systems, the sacrificial system. And so if you break that law, then you have to do this, right? So if you kill an animal on accident, you got to do this. If you have a boil, you have to do this. If you have mold in your house, you have to do this. And you're like, where is this going? Why am I reading this at 5:30 in the morning, right? It can be hard to know how to make sense of it all. But there is a point. And knowing that point helps us put all of those things into context and understand. It gives us a whole new perspective of Scripture. See, the cross is the centerpiece of Scripture. Jesus Christ dying on the cross is the central point of Scripture and all of history. And so that means that all of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, relates to Jesus and the cross. All of it is either pointing to Jesus and salvation through Christ, or is talking about how to implement salvation, how to walk in salvation, how to spread salvation, how salvation is going to culminate into eternal communion with God. All of Scripture is about Jesus. This book is the historical story of God's plan of redemption, of His love to rescue sinful, broken humanity from the bondage of sin that they're in. It's not about Abraham. It's not about Noah. It's not about David. It's not about Paul. This book is about God using these very flawed characters to carry out His plan of redemption. Using cowards and murderers and adulterers and angry, self-righteous people to show and display the grace of God in their lives and as He gathers a people in His people's lives. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus coming to earth in flesh to live with sinful man, to die a sinner's death, to conquer death and sin so that He could come and rebuild, so that He could come and restore what had been broken down and redeem us and restore a people for Himself who would gather together and be a blessing to the nations and worship Him. Every book, every story, every chapter, every word in Scripture points to Jesus. And without the context of the gospel, all we have is information. Without transformation, which is meaningless, and it's all up for interpretation. But Jesus gives meaning to the Bible. And so we need to read Scripture in full view of the gospel. Everywhere you open up, everywhere you read, you can know, if I'm not seeing how this is connected to Jesus in the gospel, in God's plan of redemption, I'm not getting enough out of it. I'm not really getting the true meaning out of this passage in this Scripture. Now, some people are going to argue with me, maybe not in this room, but some people will, somebody somewhere. And I'm not a huge Bible scholar. I read books by a lot of people who are Bible scholars. But my authority for this isn't a Bible scholar. Well, he is a Bible scholar. My authority for this is Jesus Himself. Because in Luke 24, Jesus basically says, all the law and the prophets, which is the Old Testament, the Word of God, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in my death, burial, and resurrection, which is the gospel. All of it. Jesus viewed Scripture through the gospel. Jesus saw Himself as the fulfillment. Jesus saw Himself as the answer. Jesus saw Himself as the long-awaited. Genesis 3:15, that's where this starts. The first sign, okay, sin just happened. God's promising He's going to fix things. All the way back at the beginning, pointing to Jesus. That's how Jesus saw it. So that's how I see it. That's how we see it here at Bridgeway. And so if we don't read Scripture with Jesus at the center, with the gospel as the background, then we will read it, we will view it, we will interpret it, we will preach it with us at the center. It's going to be about 5 steps to be a better leader. Right? You read about Moses. It's going to be how to overcome your weaknesses and do great things for God. It's not what it's about. When we do this with us at the center, when we read Scripture and we leave Jesus out of it and we put ourselves at the center, what we're doing is we're producing moralism. We're teaching ourselves a moralistic religion. It's about the law. It's about the commands. Do this, don't do that. Here's how you get to know God. Be better, do better, stop doing that, start doing this. But when we read it with God in mind, we're freed from the law. We're freed from the rules because He fulfilled them for us, right? Without a gospel view of Scripture, we don't see God in our story. We're the center of our story. Or we remove our story and God's story and we just simply look at Scripture as academic, then it becomes boring, right? I mean, if it's not having any effect, unless you're getting paid like $100,000 a year to study Scripture, how long does that excite you? It's about way more than that. But when we read Scripture in full view of the gospel, it puts Christ at the center of the story. Okay, it puts Christ at the center of your story. You have a story, right? Do you have struggle in your life? Disappointments in your past? Regrets? Sin you're struggling with right now? Do you have hope for the future? What are your hopes for the future? God knows them all. But when you're at the center of the story, your bearings are off. But when Jesus is the center of the story, there's hope. There's hope. And that hope, reading Scripture with Jesus at the center, produces humility and hope. It produces humility because when we read it, as I talked about earlier, we read it with a desire, with a humble heart. The Holy Spirit comes in and convicts us, right? Now, don't be confused. Conviction is not a bad thing. See, when you read this book, we've already established, this is God's word breathed to us, His revelation of Himself to us, which means when you read this book, you are encountering a holy, just God. And you cannot read about and experience a holy God and not experience the distance that exists between us and this holy God. And that distance creates something. If we don't know Jesus, that distance is going to create condemnation. It's going to create hopelessness. But if we know Jesus, that distance that we see is going to create hope. Because as soon as we see a holy God and we recognize how sinful we are and that gap between His holiness and our sinfulness, we turn and we see Jesus right there with His arms open. We know that He's hung on the cross. We can be assured that He's paid for our sin, that it doesn't have power over us that we feared, and that He forgives us. It produces humility because it convicts us, but it gives us hope because He restores us. And so without the Word of God, without Scripture, we can't see the light of the gospel. We can't see the riches of Christ. We can't experience the grace of God. We wouldn't know that we're sinners. We wouldn't know that we're breaking God's law, that we deserve death. And we wouldn't know. See, let me stop for a minute. Even though we wouldn't know that we're sinning and we deserve death, we still deserve death and we will experience death, if not for Jesus. But we wouldn't know about Jesus. We wouldn't know that God's mercy and grace has been extended to us freely by His love through the gospel. But when we do read Scripture like this, it gives us that knowledge of God, of who God really is. Not just, but loving and merciful. And it leads us to fear Him. And it leads us to the wisdom of God that leads us to salvation so that we can see Jesus and worship Jesus and live for Jesus and then not just stay there, but go. When you see Jesus and you experience Him like that, one of the things that automatically happens is it propels you outward to go to those around you who are where you were. And so it changes us. It changes who we are at the core. And it leads us to worship. It leads us to worship God. And I'm not just talking about singing. I'm talking about how we live. Romans 12:1 says that Paul's telling us to present our bodies as living sacrifices to God. There's a holistic sense there. Worship is not just getting excited or showing emotion when we sing songs to Him. It includes that. We're giving Him praise. Worship is in spirit and truth. Worship is about your whole body. Worship starts and happens in your heart. It happens every day with your lives, every act, every word, every thought, every motive. And so when we experience the Word of God as being about Jesus and pointing out to us the discrepancies, the areas of where we're off related to the Word of God, and conviction comes but then drives us to the gospel of grace, so we know we're not condemned, we're loved, we're accepted, and we receive forgiveness, we're empowered to move forward. That produces worship. That gives God glory. See, because I could ask every one of you right now, who's greater, you or God? And we'd all say God, right? But when that question matters isn't right now. It's in light of how you just lived. It's on the backside of a discussion you just had with your wife or your husband. It's on the backside of a day where nothing seemed to go right. It's on the backside of what did you do after someone offended you or hurt you? Who's bigger, you or God? This says God is. And that's why it's important. We forget all the time. So we go to His Word. We're reminded. You're bigger. It leads us to worship. It leads us to repent. And when we do that, we're reminded that He's our righteousness. He is our righteousness. That He is mighty to forgive. Do you guys believe that? Looking for some amens in here. He is mighty to forgive. He's faithful to restore. I mean, I think we're all pretty good at feeling broken. Jesus wants us to rejoice in what He's done for us. He is mighty to forgive. He is faithful to restore. He's strong and mighty to save. When we repent, we're not doing penance. We're acknowledging, I forgot. Thanks for reminding me about the truth of who You are. Nothing's changed except the disposition of our heart. Now we're believing Jesus again. Oh, You are bigger than I am, and I love You, and I worship. My heart is there. It's already there because of what Jesus did. That's something to rejoice about. You don't have to work your way back to God. Don't you want to experience God that way? You guys stand up with me. You want to experience the Bible that way? Read it in view of the gospel. Read it in view of Jesus. Ask Him to show you. Stay in it and stay on it until you see it. Trust God and the Holy Spirit to work through it in your lives in that way. And let it permeate your soul. Our mission, our vision, and our values didn't come from a dream. Didn't come from a book. It came from Scripture. And so making disciples, Matthew 28, we've already talked about it. That's what Jesus said to do. That's what we're going to do. It's in Scripture. Our vision is from Scripture. To be a church centered on Jesus. I don't have time to go through these, but you can have these later if you want. It's in Scripture to be centered on Jesus. To be a church that declares the gospel of grace. It's in Scripture. To be a church that demonstrates the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace is throughout Scripture. Why do we do it? For the good of our city. It's all over Scripture. And we know this is all over Scripture for the glory of God. At Bridgeway, we're serious about Scripture. We're serious about the Bible. It's life to us. It's light to us. It's everything to us. And so in all areas of life, in all areas of ministry, we are committed to Scripture.